Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the place for, it is the parking lot of free speech. So you can back into the parking lot and turn around and, no, actually you're front into the parking lot. You turn around in the parking lot and then you back right back out because, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this one. But at any rate, you got to pay your parking bill, right? Don't you? Is it the parking ticket or is your parking fare? I don't know what you call it. But go to National. No. I'll get it right one of these days. You go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, follow the instructions. They are being updated continuously in order to maximize your contributing experience. That's right. Also, speaking of maximizing your experience, it's Chinooka. And if it's Chinooka, you want to know if your Chinooka falafel, is that what they eat on Chinooka? I don't even know. Is it kosher or not, right? So get your Jewish friend and your non-Jewish friend, get them a nice Christmas stocking stuffer or a Chinooka stocking stuffer. Get them that. It is the co-certified app. It is totally awesome, and it will let you know if your food, well, what it'll do is it will let you know how to get non-kosher certified food. Or how to avoid non-kosher certified food for our Chinooka celebrating friends. Okay, well, if you heard Dr. Duke's show on Wednesday morning, and I am recording this on Wednesday night, at least I'm starting the recording Wednesday night, so if you heard the Dr. Duke show, you might have heard just as he was signing off, he asked me if I had anything I wanted to say. And I said, yes, I want to wish all of my Chabad Lubavitch friends a happy Hanukkah. And the best of luck converting secular Jews to the religious life. That's what I said. And you know something? I mean it. I mean it. So, Dr. Duke had been talking about Chabad Lubavitch and some of their rebbes who have said some pretty outrageous things. Things that we would consider outrageous, such as, well, according to the Talmud, it would be, or to Jewish law or whatever they base these pronouncements on, it would be justified to kill a goy and harvest his liver if it would save a Jewish life. And, you know, you do get these people who are outraged when they hear something like this, and then they blame it on Chabad. And my point is that these rabbis or Rebbe, because it's a different thing, actually. These guys, I guess they're rabbis. They are simply being honest. I think they are simply being honest about what is in the Talmud, which is rabbinical, as far as I understand, it is rabbinical interpretation of the Torah. They're simply being honest about it. This is the philosophy of the Jewish religion, and they're just being honest. And the point I made was the Chabad Lubavitchers are really not that powerful. They're not in a position to go around killing goyim and harvesting their organs. But you know who is? The Israeli military, right? And do they do it? Well, there are certainly accusations that they do it, that they have harvested the organs of Palestinian prisoners. Have they actually done it? I don't have a smoking gun. But there's certainly testimony from Palestinians that they do. The point I'm getting at is that the big trouble we have isn't coming from ultra-Orthodox Jews, whether they're Chabad, whether they're something else. It's not coming from the Hasidic Jews. Not that they're not a problem, but I'm talking about the big problems. The big problems we have are coming from, well, Israel, but even more than that, from these secular Jews who run our country. And I've always thought that if for no other reason, I mean, there's lots of reasons why I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. One is that you can look at a Chinaman and you say, oh, that guy, you might not know the difference between a Chinaman and a Japanese and a Korean, but you do know the difference between a Chinaman and a white European. And so if for no other reason, just to have an elite ruling over us that we could identify as being different, because most people don't have good enough Judar to identify Tony Blinken as Jewish, for instance, or Ron Klain, or Jeff Zucker, or Mark Zuckerberg, or a whole bunch of other people, because they look white to me. That would be good enough reason right there. But you look at the Chabad Lubavitchers with their long beards and their black and white clothing and those stringy things that they hang from their belt sashes or whatever they are, and their yarmulkes. And you say, oh, hey, that's a Jew. And it's always been my position that if people simply understood who was Jewish, that they would, then they would understand Jewish power. If they understood that the most important positions in the Biden administration, most of them are inhabited by Jews, in the media, in a lot of finance, a lot of social media, tech, in academia. If they simply knew they were Jews, they would understand Jewish power. And the essence of Jewish power is the ability to stifle the discussion of Jewish power. Well, you can say that. Really, the essence of Jewish power is to stifle the understanding, the recognition. Actually, that's really what it is. It is the ability to stifle the recognition of Jewish power. Have I just one-upped Gilad Oxman? Actually, I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. But yes. So, and once Jewish power is recognized, then it can be talked about and it can be overcome simply by seeing it there. And that, not with fake shower rooms, not with bullets, not with anything else. Just, oh, wait a minute, these tech companies are run by Jews who are hostile to us. Oh, well, maybe I'm gonna just stop using these tech giants. And there are alternatives. There are alternatives to the media. There are alternatives to the universities. There are alternatives to all sorts of things. There are alternatives to kosher certified candidates. So, getting back to Chabad Lubavitch, if Chabad Lubavitch has success in their mission to convert secular Jews to the religious life, then we will be able to identify, we would be able to, because I don't think they're going to have enough success, but we would be able to identify Jews. And once you identify Jews, you can recognize Jewish power. Once you recognize Jewish power, you can talk about Jewish power. Once you talk about Jewish power melts away. So, once again, to my Chabad Lubavitch friends, happy Hanukkah. And the best of luck in your mission to convert secular Jews to the religious life. Shalom, y'all. Okay, now, if you were listening to the Patrick and Jeremy show on Tuesday night, I think right before the first break, you might have heard me say that Hitler made a mistake. Hitler, what was his mistake? Well, I mean, actually, I could list some mistakes, but he lost. The Germans lost the war. And Jeremy and I had a little bit of a debate on this, because I said later in the show, I pointed out that, in my opinion, he should not have invaded the Soviet Union. Jeremy said, well, it was a preemptive strike on the Soviet Union because he was sure that the Soviets were going to invade him. I'm not sure that the Soviets were. At any rate, it didn't work out. Jeremy had some other information, some other opinions on, had they invaded earlier in the year instead of being distracted into Greece by the poor performance of the Italian army in trying to occupy Greece, had they not made that unnecessary move, then maybe the Soviet invasion would have been more successful, blah, 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 blah. And maybe, I don't know. But the point is, and I've made this point a lot, that Vladimir Putin, for all of his compromising and sometimes for his cucking, he has done a good job for his people over 20 years. He's still there, and so are his people. Hitler, he lost the war, not just lost the war, but then his people were occupied and are being destroyed. I know it's been 70 years, but they are on the verge of destruction with all the immigration and everything else. So, shalom to my Chabad friends, and Hitler did something wrong. There you go. Okay. I mean, just with the Hitler thing, I really don't think that 6 million were killed in fake shower rooms and whatnot. I don't know the numbers. I think a lot of Jews died in World War II. A lot of people died in World War II, including Jews. I doubt it was 6 million Jews, but we might never really know. The methodology for coming up with 6 million, first of all, is rounded up from 5.1 million. Raoul Hildeberg, who had done a survey of census data, and by using a method known as subtraction, and also correcting for trends in birth rates and death rates and whatnot, natural increase, came up with this 5.1 million. But of course, using that methodology, anybody who would have been identified as a Jew before the war and was hiding their Jewish identity after the war died in the Holocaust, which means people like Madeleine Albright died in the Holocaust. She is one of the 6 million, okay, 5.1 million. You can say, well, actually, maybe that was a pretty good methodology. Okay, maybe it was. But the methodology used for by the Lancet to determine that there had been a million deaths, not from the invasion of Iraq by George Bush, but the occupation, that a million had died, that was actually selecting 1,000 locations, I guess villages and towns and whatnot, but 1,000 locations at random. And then doing a thorough survey where you're knocking door to door at each residence in these 1,000 locations and asking if somebody had died, and if so, can I see the death certificate? And by doing this survey of residences and death certificates, they came up with this 1 million number. And I would say that is actually a more robust methodology than looking at the census data. And that 1 million was poo-pooed. It's like, well, okay, maybe it was a million. The UN is estimating 40,000. 40,000, a million, okay, nobody knows. And Colin Powell said, well, we're not in the business of counting deaths. We're just in the business of producing them. So At any rate, also regarding the Jewish casualties in World War II, I make the point that Jews were belligerent. They were a belligerent in the war, regardless of whether or not they had their own country and their own army. Now, of course, they had had their own army, the Soviet army. I mean, they had control over the Soviet Union, at least in the 20s. By 1939, probably not so much. But, you know, information is slow. Even in our days, understanding can be slow, and information was very slow back then. And so I think Hitler and other countries probably thought the Soviets were still under Jewish domination. But at any rate, even with whether or not they dominated the Soviet Union in 1939, they were an important force. And, of course, you know, the Viet Cong didn't have a country. They were Vietnamese, but they, you know, the Viet Cong didn't have a country. We call them, or the Hmong in Vietnam didn't have a country. How about the, the Kurds. We always hear about the Kurds. The Kurds, we got to side with the Kurds. Guess what? The Kurds don't have a country. And yet they were belligerents in both the Syrian and the Iraq wars. So the idea that the Jews weren't belligerents, and granted, probably most of their belligerency wasn't with guns. It was with media. It was with finance. It was with other means. But those are very, very important. They were belligerents. They had casualties. Was it 5.1 million, like Raoul Hildeberg asserts? I think it was probably less, but I don't know. I don't know. I could be in the business of counting these things, except you know, I'm not allowed to have funding because I'm evil. So I can't get funding, and therefore, you know, ain't nobody got time for that. But, okay, so when the normie hears me say, well, what Hitler did wrong was lose the war, it's not because I'm trying to exterminate the remaining 6 million or whatever. I don't think that was part... there hasn't been any evidence that Hitler was trying to exterminate Jews. He was trying to deport them. And, you know, would Hitler be more evil for trying to deport Jews to Madagascar, to Palestine, to wherever? Is that more evil than trying to flood us, our Jewish elite, trying to flood our country, transform our country by moving millions of people in, millions of people oftentimes hostile to us, by moving them into the country? Is it really that much more evil to displace your own people with foreigners? So, all right. So there's that. Anything else? Well, okay, I also, on Stormfront Radio Wednesday, because I'm this kind of a summary of what I've been doing lately, Stormfront Radio, this morning, Wednesday morning, I had a long thing on Jeffrey Epstein, not as a honey trap, not as blackmail, as kosher certification, that these people, they weren't tricked into having sex with young girls. They were offered support in their future careers if they would have sex with young girls, so that there would be some sort of guarantee of future loyalty to the Zionist masters, because it was a big Israeli Mossad operation. All right, I'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
En donde hoy oímos the beautiful Tennessee War.
Okay, welcome back to the show. And yeah, you might notice I've been doing Boomer Visions and other solo broadcasts for fair period of time. I've done them from all sorts of locales, done them from while riding a bicycle. I remember maybe one of the first ones I ever did, I had my auto insurance had expired unexpectedly. I forgot about it, and so I had to ride a bicycle, and I was recording the show riding a bicycle, and of course walking my dog like I'm doing now. That happens. Okay, a theme that I've been talking about a lot lately. Obviously, there's a whole corona apocalypse. A few things. One, and this is, you know, this is kind of like no Sherbert Sherlock or something like that. This is obviously never intended to end. It's never going to be, oh, okay, well, we beat that virus and now everything goes back to normal. There's no intention of that, and anybody who thinks there is delusional. I know my audience doesn't think that things are just going to, once we beat this virus, then everything's going back to normal. Nobody believes that. But people who don't listen to this show, they might believe it, because they're brainwashed sheeple NP, what do you call them? NPCs, non-player characters. That's what the young folks say. So that's the first thing. It's not intended to go away, and it will never go away unless we make it go away. Okay, so, and you do have pushback, and what was going on in the school board meetings this autumn, or September, October, that was all very positive. You've got pushback going on. You've got pushback going on in other countries. The question becomes, okay, all right, so next, so there's pushback. Okay, there's two more things. One is this really isn't even about the virus. It's not even about the vaccine. You know, Tucker always says, well, it's a power grab. Well, actually, he's right. What it is, what we're seeing happening, it's not just, you know, taking on power for the Democratic Party. That's a completely gay narrative. I mean, that is super gay. What it is implementing implementing the structures of a police state, a totalitarian police state, the likes of which have never been imagined before. George Orwell didn't imagine it. Nobody imagined it. Because when these people were doing their imagining, they didn't have, people weren't carrying around supercomputers in their pockets that have microphones and cameras and tracking devices. And, you know, they can register everywhere you've been. How about this, what do you call it? Contact tracing. They're loading contact tracing apps into people's phones. I mean, this is becoming very, very common. You could have contract tracing apps downloaded into your phone without your knowledge. But, you know, a lot of people have to have it. You know, people in other countries are having it, in Great Britain and other places. This is happening. I think we're going to have that. So right now it's ostensibly contact tracing is to see whether you are in contact with somebody with the deadly coronavirus. But it could also be to see if you've been in contact with somebody who's been naughty, somebody who has naughty ideas. What if you have been in contact with somebody who, contributes to Stormfront, sends money to Stormfront, for instance. So you've got that. They are putting together the infrastructure of an absolute totalitarian police state. Alex Jones has been talking about FEMA camps for years. Look at what's going on in Australia. Tucker Carlson on tonight, Wednesday night, he had a clip from Australian TV about three people who had escaped from a quarantine center. They escaped from a quarantine center. And, you know, what they're doing in the Northern Territories is they're quarantining people, not who have the deadly coronavirus, but who have been in contact, the whole contact tracing. And so these camps are real in Australia. They're coming to a place near you. The last question is it too late? I don't think it's too late yet, but I'll tell you one thing. We are darn close to a point of no return. There is a point of no return where the police state structures are in place enough that resistance becomes impossible, because they're going to know where everybody is as soon as what everybody's saying. And as soon as something pops up, as soon as some resistance pops up, they can just smash it down. This is where we're going. And we've got to keep our focus. We've got to keep focused on what's real, and what we need to do to get out of this. The point of no return is near. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Sayonara, Lopato.
Gang, welcome back to the show. Well, if you're like most people, you probably wonder, you know, those guys on Stormfront, what do they talk about after the show? Well, you are in luck. Today is your special day, because today you're going to find out what we talk about after the show. Mr. T, roll that clip.
Good of those that love the Lord and do His works. All right. All right. Whether you're religious or not, we'll be back tomorrow. Okay. Good show. Good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
I had so many things I wanted to say, but I didn't want to interrupt anyone's train of thought. It was so going so well.
Yes, well, there's tomorrow. Yeah, there's always, as Scarlett O'Hara once said, I'll worry about it tomorrow, for tomorrow is a new day.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I interrupt pretty freely, but I try to, if I'm interrupting, I try to keep it to just a few seconds so that somebody can regain their train of thought. That's my goal, at least. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. And, you know, regarding the Great Awakening, it's going on, and the whole question did it happen too late in the game, you know? And that's the whole thing about, like, accelerationism versus non-accelerationism. Like, right now, we've got our borders completely flooded open. You've got, like, if you, I spend a fair amount of time in Walmart, and last year I thought it was about one third. I did a survey one day, and one third of the children with white women had black fathers, and I don't know how it could accelerate from year to year, but now it seems like even more. And you know, the so many foreigners, you got just foreigners flooding in, and everybody's so fat and on so many drugs, you know, prescription drugs. We are so late in the game, and you know, we're never going back to I don't know if we're ever going back to something that was would be really recognizable to a time traveler from 1960. Whether we can get to some place that is acceptable or not, I don't even know. Maybe.
Well, good
oh, well,
points
that was,
all.
That was my spiel. Yeah.
Good points all. Yeah, I know what you mean about these white women and these black men. I mean, I've had some stuff come my way in the last couple of months. It's absolutely chilling. I mean, it's just gut-wrenching. I think I talked about the white woman who wanted to castrate her 10-year-old white son. I mean, that's just part of it. She was afraid if she went to a doctor, the doctor would turn her in to you know, to the authorities. And I mean, this was an email string, and there were several white women on there. One of them had a white son who was 17, and she loved black men, and she brought black men home and would have and have her son orally do these guys. And she's got her son dressed up in girls' clothes, and she's what's called feminizing. And she's feminizing her son, and she wants to transition him into being a girl. And, you know, this light bulb goes off. This is the transgendered movement. This is really it's designed to be an attack on white men as much as anything else. And you look back through history when you know, these rival civilizations would conquer each other. They would either enslave or exterminate all the men and then take the women as spoils of war. And throughout history, they have gone after the males of the defeated enemy. And this is what we're seeing now. This is what the Jews are doing to us. This is a headlong attack on our men, on our males, to make them weak and feckless and unattractive to white women. And white women are really... God, I mean, they some of these white women are just nuts. They talk about black kings, and they love black men, and they want to overthrow white civilization. And some of them openly talk about being sex slaves to black men, and they don't mind being owned by black men. And it's like they're crazy. They are crazy.
A death wish.
And this woman...
And it's completely subsidized. By white male taxpayers.
This woman,
black men don't raise the kids.
Yeah, this woman with the 17-year-old that she's transitioning into a girl. This woman owns a ranch somewhere in the Midwest, and she's apparently fairly well to do. And the question I would like to ask her is, what are you going to do when they take over and you have to pay a 50% reparations tax? They are completely detached from reality. I mean, they don't seem to understand that blacks cannot run civilization. They cannot run civilization. I mean, out here we had a hospital called King Drew Hospital. Google King Drew Hospital. It was finally closed down because of medical incompetence, and it was a gift to the black community, and they totally ran it into the ground. It was a big scandal out here. The Los Angeles Times, the white supremacist Los Angeles Times, did a 5-part expose on it that got them the Pulitzer Prize. If these people can't run a hospital, Compton, their educational system in Compton was taken over by the state because it was so screwed up. They can't run a school system. They can't run a hospital. These women are in a world of their own. They're just nuts. And, you
well,
know, and
that's not, some of us love our women.
So, well, I know we do.
And with good
reason. But when you, and the thing about like Andrew Anglin is his rhetoric is so harsh, and he talks about caging women and beating them and raping them. And it's so harsh. But you know, it is fair to analyze group behavior, and not just simply a collection of individuals, but as groups. And we as whites, we as men, we as white men have been subjected to a massive critique for our entire lives as a group. And even some of it is probably true. But we're, you know, if you're going to do a critique of white women, there is this massive phenomena. I mean, I'm having trouble getting data on it, but a big, big hunk of the women born to white, the children born to white women are mixed race. And the thing is, when they talk about like live births, you know, the official birth certificates, they're always talking about it's based on the race of the mother and not based on the race of the baby.
And
so it's hard to track this down, but you have had over the past 20 or 30 years this massive phenomenon, I guess 20, and I think it's accelerating, of white women, of like white men not having access to white women.
Yeah.
And it and who determines the access? It's the women.
Yeah, well, this is all part of the Great Depression. I first noticed all these interracial couples in the 1980s. In the 70s, there wasn't that much of it, but it all changed in the 80s when you'd go to a nightclub and, you know, it'd be a third interracial couples. Whereas in a nightclub I used to go to, the cops would throw out any interracial couples. They'd chase them down, give them a ticket when they left. But that was a different day in Birmingham. Anyway, by the way, the police have released Brooke's name and his picture. So Fox News is displaying his handsome mug right now.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
But still no motive.
I think he's running away from something. That's my prediction. He was running away from. He did some other damage. I just want to say I agree with you, Don, on white women. I'm not an Andrew Anglin type person who thinks they should all be put in cages and raped. I haven't gone that far yet.
I sympathize with Anglin because of the degeneracy of so many women out there. There's some women that really do deserve mistreatment, but I'm not a person that hates women. I love women.
Yeah,
well, I've been fortunate, and all of my women in life.
Same with me. I've been real lucky.
Yeah, they've all been supportive.
I necessarily have not been that lucky as you guys, but it doesn't not so much to impact me. But there's one last thing I want to say is you have to consider we're of different generations. Okay, we're of the generation where that's all in the past tense, and he's 30 something, and so he and all these other young men. They're facing this now, and it is impacting their lives in a way that it did not impact our lives. And so even if we don't like the rhetoric, you have to understand that partly it's coming from this. I mean, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're a bachelor, you're trying to find somebody, and they're in a very, very different environment than we were in. But listen,
that's for sure.
I don't know if Don Advent knows this, but at the beginning of the show, because of technical issues going on with Todd, I recorded the show. And so I've also recorded this past 10 minutes or so, which has been very good conversation. Would anybody mind if I used the post-show discussion we had in one of my programs later this week?
No, I don't care. I mean,
No, it's okay with me. I can't remember.
I don't care either.
I can't remember what I said.
No, okay, yeah. But it was really good. I mean, it's really good. So that'll get incorporated into a Boomer Vision later, soon to come. But at any rate, I got to go now, so I'm going to sign off.
I wish I would have said something more incendiary.
Yeah, okay. It might have been a little more measured.
If it was too incendiary, I would have just edited it out, so don't worry about that.
All right.
Okay. All right, thanks. I'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Like Dr.
Okay, gang, so what did you think? Is that how you imagined it? Is that how you imagined us backstage after the show? Because that's what we sound like. That's myself and Jay Hess and Don Black and Don Advo. And we're just a bunch of grumpy old men. But there you go. Complaining about the young women. We weren't really complaining about the young men so much, but there you go. Honestly, we sound pretty much like we do on air. Doesn't sound that much different. So I don't think. Okay. Okay, and like a lot of Boomer Visions, this is a little bit, you know, it's like quilt work where we're just throwing this and that together. But I think there is kind of a coherence. And I want to get back to the theme of the point of no return and keeping focused. 2022, maybe even this month, 2021, but these past couple of years have just been absolutely horrible. And, you know, I don't want to get into a big debate about how long in advance what was planned. That's not the main thing. The main thing is we can see where this is going. We can see where we're at, and we can see what direction we're moving in. And we have to resist. We have to refuse to comply. Now, I know there are circumstances where you might just have to comply with wearing a mask to get into a store or something like that. I have not worn a mask, I don't think, since the summer, with one little exception. I wear a mask in my doctor's waiting room for about 3 minutes, and maybe when I was visiting somebody who was paranoid, and it was a business thing, and I just didn't want to. So maybe I've worn a mask twice in the past 3 months for a short period of time. But I haven't worn a mask really in public. I haven't had to, and you know, part of it is I'm not being forced to wear a mask. But I'm in places where, you know, there signs will be up saying masks are required, and everybody else in the building is wearing a mask, and I'm not. If somebody came up and tried to force the point, well, I mean, last summer that happened, and I said, okay, well, I'm leaving then. I'm not putting on a mask. There's the mask. There's all sorts of things. There's also being a bit confrontational when people are being retarded, saying, look, I'm just getting tired of this. Obviously, this whole, you know, well, I mean, you can use your judgment, but this whole coronavirus stuff is obviously just a vehicle for a very malevolent ulterior agenda, however you want to put it. You can probably put it better than I can, but we got to push back, not just at officialdom. We got to push back at our peers. We got to start shaming them is the right word, but pushing back, educating them, being a little bit confrontational. Appropriately, right? And sometimes appropriately might be a little bit more confrontational, but this is crunch time, not Captain Crunch time. It is real crunch time. Well, Captain Crunch was kind of real, a lot more real than the commercials are today. All right. Well, I tell you what, let's go off to the break, and then we're going to wrap this up on the other side.
の赤城がとても綺麗ね横浜ブルーライト横浜あなたと二人幸せよいつものように愛の言葉を横浜ブルーライト横浜私にくださいあなたから歩いても歩いても小舟のよう
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having. And I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, well, this is our last segment, and sometimes on the last segment of a Boom Revision, I'll go and I'll play an old Poindexter song, right? Engelbert Poindexter. And I was looking through the catalog of Engelbert Poindexter songs, and I came upon one. And, you know, right now Chris Cuomo's in the news because he's getting fired from CNN. And Tucker did this big thing on him, because Tucker's been attacking Chris Cuomo for good reason for years. But saying, oh, you know, you don't fire somebody for sticking up for their brother. He stuck up for his brother. Well, I mean, his brother is effectively a mass murderer. And so I don't know, really. I mean, if your brother is Andrew Cuomo, I don't know. But at any rate, Tucker played, I guess, I don't know. Tucker, maybe did he play his own best hits of slamming Chris Cuomo? Well, guess what? Engelbert Poindexter had done a song about Chris Cuomo a few years ago. Somebody had called Chris Cuomo Fredo in a restaurant, Fredo being like the retarded big brother, I guess, in one of the Godfather movies, and Chris Cuomo went ballistic. So I hope you enjoy this song, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Olma erotica, lasto d'argento, latina e l'onda, prospero il vento, each night on CNN, it p.m. Central Time, he's chilling for the Jews, inside with his Cuomo. Moreau was in the mob, Andrew is in the mob, Chris works for CNN, he's too retarded. Friends with Don LeMore, hangs out with Anderson, they like his palm pass, they're homosexual, don't call him Fredo, he'll look like he's in the mob, he's got a low IQ and lacks impulse control. This retard Chris Cuomo, working for CNN, let's call him Fredo, cause he's retarded. We'll call him Fredo, cause he's a punk-ass, disgusting Jewish fool. But I've got on him.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.